Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Yes, please be seated. We are going to have a simple quiz this morning, and you can guess. Right, so we are going to have some characters from the Bible. Yes, and the first one, the first person says this: my family and I were happy living in Ur of the Chaldees. I didn't ask God to send me to another country. He encountered me and told me what I was supposed to do to reveal His glory to all the people of the earth. Can you imagine how I had to tell that to Sarah? This side. Yes, very good. That was a loud voice. I was content to be living in the desert, far away from my trouble in Egypt. I didn't go looking for the burning bush or the glory of God's presence. I certainly did not want to go back to Egypt to face a showdown with Pharaoh. But God had to do a job on me to get me to join Him. Serene. Yes. Yeah, Moses. Moses. I know Serene knows the answer. Moses, huh? I was a baby in my family. Nobody ever took me that seriously until one day Prophet Samuel came to my father's house. And I would have loved to spend my days standing to the sheep, playing the harp and writing songs. But I could never imagine that what God was going to do in and through my life. Everybody? I had to leave my throne in heaven and empty myself when my father said I needed to give myself to demonstrate His glory and redeem all people. It would have been easier for me to stay in heaven permanently. But I knew the cross was ordained for me before the foundation of the world. Everybody? Jesus. Are you thankful that Jesus came? Now, another quiz. Who was the first missionary? Ah, yeah, so simple. Jesus, ah. Yeah. Hey, Jesus, was on a mission, you know. He was from heaven. He came to earth. I wanted to say He came to Singapore. Right. But of course He came to Singapore because I live here. I was born here. Huh? Right. Yeah, so Jesus was the first missionary. Amen. Yeah, right. Now, another person. This is a famous one. All everybody know. I thought I was on mission with God on the road to Damascus, trying to stamp out the spreading of the Christian wildfire. When you, Jesus, encountered me and showed me your glory, you turned me around and the rest of my life was the wheel of an adventure as I discover what it really means to be on mission with God. Paul! Yes, the great hero. Now today we want to focus on one particular person. He is a very simple folk and we can identify with him. He's not a special hero. He had many flaws like you and me, but nevertheless, God also used him. Can you guess who he is? I had a lot of trouble learning to be on mission with God. How could God use a brash fisherman like me to impact the world? Even self-confident got in my way. I later learned that it was only with God's strength that I could really do anything. But when I finally caught on, God was able to do far more through me than I could have imagined. Answer? Peter, yes, Peter. And the prize for today is that you will have some cakes at the hospitality plaza. Right, yeah, so please go there. And tell the ushers, you deserve another piece. Now, so today my message will be embracing change, how to make it work for you. Everybody say, embracing change. Yes, and we want to read from the text, Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 16. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 16. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. But when they were made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time. "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, Acts chapter 10 records how Peter had to undergo great change in his mindset in order to be used by God to develop a church for all people. Now, if change is inevitable, then I think we must have the attitude that we must eagerly and enthusiastically embrace change. Amen. Wow, quiet, man. Can you say amen again? Amen. From this passage, we can derive three things. Firstly, number one, God always is prepare his people for change. God always prepare his people for change. Number two, God interrupt his people to involve them in his mission or assignment. Number three, God invite his people to accept the change and the challenge. Now, firstly, we see here that God always prepare his people for change. You will see there are two waves of change. Wave number one, God prepared Peter. Wave number two, God prepared Cornelius. God prepared the Jewish church to include Gentiles. You must realize that the Jews hated the Gentiles for a century, but God used Peter to reach out to the Gentiles. I will give you maybe three verses about how God's heart from the beginning is for the Gentiles, not only for the Jews. We know Jesus came primarily for the Jews, but later, through the Apostle Peter and Cornelius and so forth, the gospel was given to the Gentiles. Just to give you some information, there are only two kinds of people in this world, on this earth. You are either a Gentile or a Jew. So other races besides, if you are not Jewish, then you belong to the Gentile. Yeah, very simple. Now, the first verse, Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Second verse, Psalm 2:9. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the end of the earth for your possession. Luke 24:47. That repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now, one of the evidences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that God wants to make us witnesses. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says that God has made us witnesses. We have received power when the Holy Spirit come on us, that we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I want you to take note of the word "and." "And" is it implies simultaneous act. Like probably I won't be eating and talking at the same time. When I was young, my mother said, when you eat, you don't talk. When you talk, you don't eat. Is that right? Yeah. Right, because it's not polite to eat and talk at the same time because the food might be spilled from your mouth. Right. Yeah. So we see here that the mandate, the Great Commission, does not only include preaching the gospel, reaching the lost in our nation of Singapore, but the churches, I believe, all churches, no matter what size, whether you are 50, 5,000, 10,000, we are called to reach, right, to reach our countries beyond. We don't wait and say, let me do my part to get all of Singapore safe, then I go to the neighbor. To another country. Alright, so the Jerusalem will represent Singapore, Judea probably will represent Cambodia and so forth, and Samaria maybe China, and to the ends of the earth that will be Africa and South America and so forth. Alright, so we are thankful that the Church of our Savior, as a church, they have been supporting sending missionaries, alright, from the time I believe the church was born many, many years ago. But nevertheless, like I said, we need more missionaries. Everybody say more missionaries. Father God, send me. Wow, that one nobody pray. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6 say what? What? God, send me. Send me. Now, we will say, send me and my neighbor too. How about that? Can we say that? Then you don't feel so bad. Right, yeah, let that say. 1, 2, 3. Send me and my neighbor too. Yeah, so that means what? Everybody included. Whether short-term, long-term. Now, here, although today is not a mission message, Vanaja is not here, but I sent her my message, you know, so she know what I'm preaching, right? So I got a mission element, I told her. Now, we are thankful that Kuz as a church is doing that. But looking at the numbers of missionary and the kind of missionary, I always tell her, I say, I feel that we can do more. Amen. Yeah, because according to the size of the church, we can do more. And I heard that some missionaries are retiring. You know that missionary also retire. Right, yeah, retire, for some reason, right, yeah, they retire. So we need what we call succession, you know, succession. Right, and I am perturbed, you know, the word perturbed, like concerned, that as I look through, now you ask me, Cynthia, why you know so much of mission? Are you in the missions, department? I'm not, but I support. Every mission connection, you will see Cynthia up there, right? And when a missionary come back, I make it a point to have a meal, because mission is in my blood. Mission is my DNA. You know, why not? Like I said, Jesus was the first missionary and I'm a Christian. What is on the heart of Jesus must be on my heart. Right. So I realized that at present there are no longer any single male missionary. Now families we have, we thank God, we have several families. But as I look through, the single male missionary has finished their SMS. Now what is SMS? Right, it's short mission service. Minimum 1 year, 1 year to 2 years. So I encourage you, we need more brothers to sign up for the SMS. 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 Now, going back to my message, how did God prepare Peter to reach the first Gentile? Now, so I want to tell you a bit about Peter's background. Firstly, he was a Jew, right? He ministered to the Samaritans, and interestingly, he was staying in Joppa with a tanner. Now, what is a tanner? What is a tanner? A tanner deal with skins of dead animals, right? And he, and the tanner was socially despised. Tannery is not something that people like, per se. And the Jews despise tannery. And there is a quotation, from the Babylonian Talmud. I think it's some kind of journal, some kind of book, right? And there's a quotation. Can I see the quotation? It says, "Woe to him who is a tanner by trade." So can you see that the Jews, despise people who are tanners, you know? So you are thinking, what happened to Peter? Definitely God is already working on Peter. You agree? Right. Peter, remember, Peter was a Jew. He was an apostle. But he was staying with Simon the tanner at Joppa. Right. So in other words, his prejudice, I believe, was already being weakened. Being weakened. In other words, he was quite different from other Jews. But nevertheless, we see that though Peter would stay with the tanner, but he was arguing with God on the tanner's housetop about eating food considered unclean. Right. Secondly, Peter would stay with the tanner, but he had second thoughts about sharing the gospel with Cornelius the Gentile in Acts chapter 10. The lodging with the tanner was a step on the road to eating with the Gentile. What was God doing? God was tearing down the prejudice and the tradition. So just as God prepared Peter to reach out to Gentile, the first Gentile convert, and that began what we call the whole Gentile church, we see here, Cornelius, that he was a man of prayer. He gave alms, you know, and he had a vision. Now, by the way, do you think Cornelius is handsome? Well, you're not too sure. Right. I like Cornelius because my favorite color is also red. Yes. Huh? Right. Yes. I kind of like him. And if he's available, I'm available. Why not? You know? Right. Yeah, yes. Yes. He looks so distinguished. Don't you think so? Huh? But I'm not living in that century, by the way. Yes. So anyway. Now, no. So what has this Cornelius got to do with me? You are sitting there and say, yeah, you preach about Peter. I'm not Peter, firstly. I'm not Cornelius. By the way, today I want to imagine you are Peter. Can you imagine? Now, I know there are some Peters here, but you imagine that you are the Peter, the Apostle Peter too. Alright? Yes. So I believe there are Cornelius prepared for you in 2015. There are Cornelius. There are people waiting to hear the gospel and only you can be rich. And that's why we talk about the, how many mountains? Seven. Yeah, seven, right? Right. Not nine. Is it seven, Pastor? Seven. Seven gates or seven mountains. And then remember, a few years ago, we pray and all that. Because all of you, if I interview you, you are in one of the seven. How about the housewife, the domestic engineer? You are in the family. Yeah, family gate is so important. So what I'm saying is that all of us are placed, all right, are placed in, right, in the different field for a reason. What I'm saying is that I'm very convinced that as a Christian, you don't take anyhow job. Ayo, that's not very good English. You know that you don't take a job just any old how because the pay is good, only 5 day week. You know, you have to seriously pray. All right. Besides the good condition and all that, you know, God, when He places you there, He has a reason. Because you will have what I call a metron, a sphere of influence, a number of people that you can influence. Now, if you are working in the polytechnic or studying there, there are at least 20 or 30 students and teachers that you mingle with. Right? If you are working in the hospital, that is your sphere of influence. And do you know that we, as full-time ministers, we are not able to get, you know, to in contact with these people so much as you. Yes. Right? But our job primarily is to equip you, to help you in any way. Right? Because your sphere of influence and my sphere of influence is different. Right? So, I believe there are Corneliuses waiting for you in 2015. And here and now, I want to ask for a show of hands. How many of you say, God, I'm prepared. I'm prepared just like Peter. I'm going to believe there will be Corneliuses that I will meet. Divine assignment, divine appointment in 2015. Can I see your hands? Yes. Yeah. Very good. All right. Yeah. All of you are awake. Yes. And do you know that you don't need a theological degree? You don't need to have a CE, a certificate or so forth, Christian education certificate, right? You know, to share the gospel. What you need is to love people, right? Just love people. Be a listener. Be empathetic. Because there are people that are wanting to talk. They are wanting to someone to listen. And all we need to do there is to be relational, be friendly, be a warm person. And I tell you, there are Corneliuses waiting for you. Now, I told you before that I've never, not in full-time ministry since I was born, obviously not, but I worked in Citibank for 16 years. I was very happy there. And I felt led to start a lunch fellowship. Now, the pastor didn't tell me, but I just felt that why not, you know, since there is a room that I can book from the HR. And I started to just, you know, tell my colleagues about it. They can join us for this lunch fellowship on a Wednesday. And lo and behold, I met Sally. Sally was a temporary staff, and she had to relieve a maternity staff in Citibank. Right? So I invited her in her first month of the 3-month assignment. And I said, Sally, would like to join us? I didn't tell her that it was, you know, about Christian and all that. I just said, hey, you want to come and join us for lunch? We just come and talk, and then we talk about, you know, we pray and all that. And lo and behold, on the first meeting, you know, of the lunch fellowship, Sally gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, follow-up is very important. I brought her to my previous church, connected her to the cell group, and you know what happened? She grew in the cell group, and she met the handsome Michael. Right? So Sally met Michael, and they got married, and God gave them 3 lovely children, and they are now still serving in the church there. Amen. Yeah, so do you see the benefit of attending a cell? I'm not in charge of cell, you know. Right, yeah, yeah. You see the benefit. No, that's not the motive. But I'm saying that's one of the benefit. Then you'll be asking, Cynthia, what happened to you? Because I tell you, I think I attend the cell, all the men are married. That's why. You know, like, yes, right. Yes. So we trust that next year, when we have a cell drive, I don't know got such word. C-E-L-L, not the S-E-L-F. Self-driven we don't want. We want God-driven. No. You know, cell, C-E-L-L. Self-driven, I tell you, yeah, you join. You never know. Mr. Right or Miss Right waiting for you. Right. Yes. So important. Yeah. So you see that, you know, that God wants to prepare us, right? But the thing is that you must be willing. Are you willing to be God's instrument? I hope that you say yes. Now, though you are willing to be God's instrument, many a time we want to serve God. We have many terms and conditions. Right? We have many terms and conditions because we say, at my convenience. Of course, you won't say at my convenience because, you know, as a Christian, you say that not so good. Right? But your rationale for not serving and so forth, by the way you prioritize your life, we can tell whether serving God is a convenience or not. We will say like that. I will serve God if I have more time. Now, how many of us have more than 24 hours? Let me interview you after the service. Right? Everybody got 24 hours, right? If it's important, you will make time. Amen. Right. Recently, I heard someone say that, the person came to our Christmas service, and one of the staff, you know, asked the person about church and so forth, and the man said, I have no time. I have no time to come to church. Right. So, thank God, the staff had wisdom and knew how to counsel the person. Right. Yeah, so I don't believe in the statement. I'm very serious. You say that, I'm a Christian, but, you know the word but, B-U-T, you know? I'm a Christian, but I don't attend church. Yeah. By the way, you don't attend church, you are the church, you know? Right? We attend the house of worship, but actually you are the church. Right? Yeah. Right. So, to me, you don't attend church only if you are a prisoner in North Korea, right, in the jail or in China. Right? Yeah. You don't attend church because you are the church there. Right, but other than that, in Singapore, where we have, I think, hundreds of churches, to me, there's no excuse. Excuse I will not take. Right, and then some they become the armchair Christian. You know, armchair Christian may not be in Singapore, but definitely is relevant in the West. You know what's an armchair Christian? You want to know, Victor, want to know, armchair Christian? Armchair Christian is that you buy the Osim chair, okay? You sit, then on Sunday you say you don't go to church, but you switch on the television. And it's a 40 inches one. Wow, very big. Right. Then you see, nowadays, we have services, right? They are televised. Right. Right. Televised. Right. Yeah. I'm not against all those, so-called, you know, televised. In fact, I was also televised. Ayo. I better don't say, but I forgot. I was televised. I was, last time was audio. Now what? Now video. Ayo. I hope my hair is okay. Yeah. Ayo. Yeah. Long time ago, it was audio. You know? Wow. Yeah, so now must look quite pretty now. Yeah, so I don't accept now. That one extra. Right, after you attend church, you want to be the armchair Christian, okay. Right, so armchair Christian, to me, it's not a Christian now. Because when you reach heaven, there are no armchair there. Okay, now, Now, so what happened is that, where was I? Right. So you see, you give, then this one is a classic one. I will be a missionary, right? If my parents get saved. Now, this is not a condition, right? Your parents getting saved is God's business. Your business is to love them, respect them, care for them, you know, like I said, do all you can, right, so far, right? So, if you want to wait until your parents get saved, it's not a relevant answer. Now, another one is, this is for the young people, men and women. Pastor, I will be a missionary when I get married. Now, if you get married 10 years later, I tell you, we can't wait for you already. Huh? Right? Other nations, they want missionaries. Yeah. So the thing is that after you get married, you say, I will become a missionary after I have children. Then later, after I have children, you say, now the children need to have education. I have no time. I will become a missionary after I become a grandparent. Now, my point is that you can give excuses and excuses. Right? So, to me is that, you ask me, Cynthia, is it inconvenient to serve God? Like I said, you ask anyone here, is it convenient for the worship team? They are here at 7 a.m. Is that right, Eunice? Or earlier? Correct. Yeah, 7. Yeah, 7 a.m. Now, 7 a.m., some of you probably didn't wake up yet. All right. 7 a.m., you ask them, is it convenient? They will say, not. It's inconvenient. So my point is, if you say, no, I want to serve God, no, at my convenience, it will be very, very tough, right? Some people, they say that I will serve God when I retire. Now the retirement age, I believe, you'll be announced later, you have been increased to 67. Oh my gosh, we have to wait until you are 67. I tell you, we can't wait for you that long. Right? So we forget, by giving all these excuses and reasons, we forget that our God is our King and Master. You do not tell your King or Master what to do, it's the other way around. A Master tells his servant what to do, the servant does not argue or even protest. He just does what he is told. He takes instruction from his Master. And we can learn from the young prophet Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3:10, he says here, now the Lord came and stood and called as at other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears or listens. Right? And no wonder, it's recorded, right? Recorded that Samuel's words did not fall to the ground. Right? Samuel's words did not fall to the ground. It means that whatever Samuel said was so powerful and anointed, right? That he blessed the people, he ministered to the people. Yes. Right. So just as God prepared Peter and Cornelius, he's preparing us for his mission. I call it an assignment from God. Assignment from God. Because I realize, if I continue to say mission, all of you may switch off. And you say, mission is not my cup of tea. God did not speak to me about mission. So I'd rather use the word assignment. Now, all of us have an assignment that God has prepared for us in 2015. And like I tell you, no, for you to fulfill your assignment, you will be interrupted. Right? Remember, Peter was on the rooftop, right? He was interrupted. Yeah, he was interrupted. He was hungry. Maybe he was meditating on God and so forth. And he was interrupted that the Cornelius servant came and all that, you know, right? So what I'm trying to say to you that, in 2015, while you are going about, all right, fulfilling your business and so forth, or whatever it is, there will be times where you are interrupted. So be willing to say, God, there is a reason why you interrupt me. Let me cooperate with you. Let me obey you. Amen. God was at work in Joppa to get Peter ready to go and tell Cornelius how he got saved, how to be saved. God came to Cornelius in the vision, but he put Peter in a trance. Peter was too prejudiced to hear God on this issue. And many of us from different nationality and culture, we have to be aware that we do not overlook people of different races. So in Singapore, we are blessed in that sense that we grow up in a multi-religious, multi-racial society. Right, our neighbors probably are other races from ourselves. Right, yeah. So as Christians, we have to take note that we shouldn't be prejudiced. And prejudice is something that is one of the things that really is in my heart. Because I don't believe, if you say that you are Christian and you are prejudiced with some race or some other culture, then I think something is wrong. Because remember that we are all God's creation. And whenever I look down, I despise someone else that is different from me, you know what I'm implying? I am despising God. Okay? Do you agree? Because God is the one who created all. So you are despising God's womanship in that sense. Right, yeah. So imagine that you are Peter today, you are wearing Peter's shoe. While Peter waited on the rooftop praying, he fell into a trance. He saw something looking like a sheet coming from heaven with all kinds of animals, right? And birds and reptiles that were unclean according to the Old Testament laws and traditions. And the command, right? The command, he heard God say, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Yeah, so can you see the unclean food there? That one looked like a bear. No, can't be. They're big animal. I don't know what from far, right? There were some unclean animals there. And here he receives the command. The command in verse 13, Acts chapter 10, 13 says, he heard God say, get up, Peter, and kill. Peter could not believe his ears. He knew that it was the voice of God because he heard God's voice at Jesus' baptism and also at the Mount of Transfiguration. Transfiguration, right? What did I say? Yeah, right. And so Peter recognized. Peter said, yeah, this is the voice of God. Right. And instead of responding by saying, yes, Lord, what did he say? Surely not, Lord. Right? He didn't say yes, Lord, right? Though he knows it's God's voice, he said, surely not, Lord. And he gave the excuse, the rationale, why he cannot obey. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Can you see the Peter's response there? Right? And don't be too quick, because sometimes we respond that way. Right? Yeah, so you see. Now, you must imagine, no, the command went against all his Jewish prejudice and rabbinical training. He had to learn that the old ritual law of the Old Testament was no longer binding, and that some of his attitude we have to change. Peter had to have what we call a paradigm shift in his thinking. And I believe in 2015, we have to go through, as a church, many paradigm shifts. Yeah, so just to prepare you, what's coming. And January 3rd, you will hear the whole story. right. So you will see the calendar, right? In the calendar, there will be some paradigm shift. right. So I'm saying that new things are coming up. So it's very important to maintain a right attitude. If you are someone that says, oh, we have never done this like this before, no wonder nothing is happening. Because we have never done this like this before, right? So my drive of this message today is that we need to change our attitude. Amen. Our attitude is to embrace change in whatever form. Firstly, for my personal life, right? Yeah, personally for my personal life, also for the church corporate life. Secondly, Peter had a conflict. Wherever there's a command, there will be a conflict, all right? And three times the Lord said, get up, Peter, and kill and eat. When God interrupts you, don't reply like Peter did. No, Lord. Right now, there was a story about a young man. He was a successful businessman, and what happened is he had a mission call, and he was of course struggling, right, to leave the successful business to go to be a missionary in some remote place. And so he wanted some guidance, and he asked from a very veteran missionary. Of course, asking for a veteran missionary, you know the answer, right? So the veteran missionary say, "Come, I will show you this verse." So the veteran missionary took out Acts chapter 10. And took a pencil and say, you read Acts chapter 10 and you see Peter answer, no, Lord. And the missionary say, I'm giving you a pen, right? In fact, the word no, Lord, right, cannot go together. It's contradictory. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, Lord, cannot be said in one breath. So the missionary, the veteran missionary told the man, said, you pray, you either cancel no, right, then Lord, right? Because people say what? There's always a saying, Jesus is Lord of all or none at all, right? So if, like I say, if Jesus is Lord, then you cancel no. No. If you want to say no, what do you cancel? Lord. Yeah. Right? Well, you cancel Lord. Right? Yeah. So the thing is that you cannot have it both ways. Huh? So we thank God that there was a confirmation from God the Father and Peter did obey. Amen. Yes, so God is very gracious. Do you know that He will confirm things? Now, I remember that when I had a call to Uganda, I went to Uganda twice, by the way, Right? The first time was only 1 month, teaching at the Bible school. Oh, I enjoy it, man. I tell you, it was only 1 month because I enjoy it. Yeah. But the ministry was wonderful. 1 year later, I was sitting and doing my own business like you, like that, and there was a call and say, we need two intercessors, prayer ministers. They need two, because they follow Jesus style, two by two, they don't send me alone, right, two by two. So they said, we want, someone to go to Uganda for 6 months only. And I say, then the Lord was working in my life. The Lord say, you go and tell your pastor in charge, say, I am going. And I say, God, I already went to Uganda, must go again. Right? I say, can I say no, Lord? I argue with God. Right? And like I say, and I was struggling. Because Uganda, like I said, is a very hard place. Do you know that water, electricity can be cut off anytime? Right? You are cooking the rice with your electric rice cooker. You better cook fast, because anytime the blackout. Right, the blackout one day can be three times. And no point calling the PUB guest. Because they say, why they cut? I tell you the reason why. It's like the nation is so large, electricity consumption, not consumption, electricity supply is so much, you know. So what they do, that they ration, you know. It's like Toa Payoh will have 3 hours, Queenstown 5 hours. You know, that kind of different thing, you know. Yes. So whenever we stay in a mission home, wherever there is electricity, we boil water, we bathe hair, we cook everything, you know. Because when electricity go off, you all say, hang on, like that. So you have to be fast. So you cannot be dilly-dally and slow coach. You will suffer in Uganda. Right, so I say, wow, very tough, man. Then the water, yellow color, you know, right? No. I say all this, you know. And I tell you, God did send confirmation. You know what's a confirmation or not? Do you know that in Orchard Road, you can see some black people? Now, by the way, when I say black is a race, because for those of you, we are not despising the color, all right? Yeah, black is a race. African, they are black and white. I'm yellow. Okay, I go to Uganda, I'm yellow, right? Yes, yellow, white, and black. Black is a race, by the way. Colored is also a race. So, I was sitting in the bus, Upper Thompson Road. That was my previous church office. Upper Thompson Road is quite an old place now. And lo and behold, as I sat in the bus, a black man came up. Can you believe it? I was like struggling, I should go to Uganda. You know? And the black man came up, and it was quite empty, you know, the bus. Of all the seats, he chose to sit beside me. Yeah, so sometimes you say God speak to you, I tell you, you know, in strange ways, straight away I know. And then he came, and then he sit beside me, and then he looked at me. He was really black. Right? I mean, a black race, right? So I say, God, this one, confirmation, you know. I say, I have to respond already, right? So I responded to my pastor, say, I'm willing to go. But you know, I had to wait for 2 months, right? Because they couldn't find another person. They had to go and interview another minister, right? And they had to persuade the lady, you know. So I had to wait 2 months, but anyway, I told God, I say, then I told God, I say, hey, not my business. I say, yes already. Happily. But after that 2 months, I had to go. Right? Yeah. So another point is that when you obey God, there is the joy of obedience. Right? Right? Do you know that? When you obey God, there is this joy, you know? Right? Yeah, there is joy. So in other words, that if you don't obey God, there is this restlessness, you know? Yeah. And the thing is that, is that in every service, I would be thinking, of Uganda and the black people. And finally, I had to give in. Right? Yeah. So, I had a wonderful time. Ministry, 6 months. We did not do church planting, but we did in the area of prayer ministry, and it was so exciting. Right. Now, the confirmation, Now, the application. Have you ever said no to God? Has God ever told you something to do that go against your church tradition, or it's outside your normal experience, or it will inconvenience you, and you protested that he could not possibly mean what you heard him say? Right? Have you ever argued with God? Derek Prince say that a man that has truly repented will no longer argue with God. Right? I'm not saying that you don't go through a period like what Peter did. Yeah, Peter did, but ultimately, what? He obeyed. He obeyed. Right. Will you cross out not so or Lord in your Bible? Is God knocking at your door today? Is he ringing your number? God knocked on my door not once but many times. I told you I was very happy working in Citibank. God knocked on my door and say, it's time to go full time. All right. So when I was serving in my local church, I was very happy serving there. Because the church, they really empower you. They say, you can do this, you can do that. And sometimes the leadership will take no, they will take no for an answer. Yeah, but sometimes it's good, no? When they take no for an answer, it really push you, no? Right? So sometimes those with ours are ministers and pastoral, right? Don't be so quick to protect. You know the word sayang, no? You know, protect your members. Oh, they can't do it, they can't do it. I tell you, you are not empowering them. Right? Yeah. So you empower them, but you are also behind them. And that's what they did. And I thank God for the legacy that, I've learned a lot from them. Right? So what happened is that, like I said, I was serving there, and meanwhile, I was also studying for my theological degree, Bachelor in Theology for the Bible school. I couldn't study full-time. I had to work, but they gave me some time to do my studies, certain days, and so forth. So I was happy working towards my degree. I was looking for the day where I will be wearing the costume with a hat and take photograph, right, with a piece of paper. And lo and behold, you know, the Zambia call came for 2 years. So my study was interrupted. And then, subsequently, when I came back, continued my study, lo and behold, the Uganda call came. You know, and like I said, I did manage, you know, after my Uganda stint, I came back and did finally manage to finish my studies. Yes. So what is my point here? Is that I also rationalized I had to complete my study before I obey, right? But I realized that if Jesus is Lord, I can't say no, right? Jesus is Lord of all or none at all. So we see that God prepares his people for change. He interrupts them when he wants to involve them in his assignment. But he leaves the decision to us. And that is my last point, that today God is giving you an invitation. Everybody say invitation. Invitation, that you can say yes or no. If I invite you after lunch, I say we are going to Crystal Jade. Who wants to have lunch with me? Well, you can say yes or no. Right. You have a right. Right. So the same way, God invites us. He doesn't force us. Right. He doesn't force us. But like I said, there will be consequences. Right. So every time there is an invitation for you to be involved in the ministry of God, when you say no, actually, it's like you just miss the opportunity. Right. God will get the job done. He doesn't need us. I mean, He doesn't depend on us. He doesn't need us. Right. He can use somebody. He will raise somebody else. But to me, it's that, oh, what a great loss, man. I could have been, you know, in this exciting work of God. You know, I could have played a small part, but I will miss the boat. Now, when God invites you to accept the challenge of the change, well, this will happen. Like I said, firstly is that there will be a crisis of belief. Crisis of belief. You will exercise your will to make a choice who to believe and what to believe. Whenever there's a crisis of belief, like I said, you make a decision. Who to believe and what to believe. And you know that the world, God and the world, can tell what I really believe about God for my response to the Goliath facing me. There will be many Goliaths, I'm sure. Right? Goliath speaks of challenges, speaks of the mountains, speaks of the difficulty, speaks of so many things. There will be Goliaths, right? Whether you anticipate or not. And 2015 will be no different. Right? I'm not promising you, this year you face 10 Goliaths, next year 5. I'm not saying that. No. Next year, maybe 15. Oh, so are we prepared? Right. So my point is, better be prepared. Whether got 1,000 or not, we are prepared. Right. And the good thing is that in a church, it's a family. I don't have to face my Goliath alone. Amen. Right. I don't have to face. If I'm in a cell, 10 people, you know, facing the Goliath with me. I'm in a church. Right. I'm part of the staff. The English staff got 50, I think. 40 plus or what. Right, so I've got this issue. I will share. Why it's like some people, if they are struggling in a certain way, is that they always say, hush, hush. I mean, why should you hush, hush? You are sharing with the family of God, with people who love you, who care for you. You need all the support. Right. So of course, you have to share discreetly at the appropriate time. I have to put that in. Right, yeah. Now, so the same way, there will be Goliath. And David and Goliath, you know the whole story, right? About David and Goliath. And you see that David knew God, no? Though he was a shepherd boy, let me tell you, he knew God. No, because even the Saul who was he was the king, right? Right. When the Philistines and Goliath were coming against the children of Israel, I mean, Saul was panicking. But David was different. He knew God. He said, my God will deliver me. And truly, God did deliver him, right? So we see that David truly believed that God was a living God and he was the deliverer. He said that God is almighty, God would deliver and defend Israel's enemy. So my point is, David's action verified that he really did believe these things about God. Alright, we sang the song, God is good. God is good, right? Right, in your heart now, when you face a crisis of belief, right, and he talks about decision, because in the crisis of belief, right, it will lead you to make some kind of decision. You cannot be like a person sitting on the fence, right? A Christian cannot be sitting on the fence. Compromise don't work, right? Yeah. So what I'm saying is that you have to make a decision, and your decision will determine what you truly believe about God, right? We sing the song Jehovah Jireh, right? Oh, only that part only. Yeah, because I'm fearful. If I sing more, I'll be left alone here. Jehovah Jireh. Right. So when you declare Jehovah Jireh, my provider, when you lose your job for 3 months, when there's no income, right, and your saving is just going, you know, the zero is just going down all the time, you know, what are you going to do? Right. And like I said, God proved faithful, because after I served in my previous church for 2 years, for health reason, I resigned, right, from being a full-time minister, and there was no income, but I was still serving in the lay capacity. And truly, God provided for me. Right. I did not even take a cent from my sister who was in the U.S. Right. For 2 years, God did provide. He was Jehovah Jireh. So I'm saying that your action, they say actions speak louder than words. You believe or not? A husband and wife will know it, right? Husband and wife say, yes. You know, action, talk only. You know, go and wash the bathroom. You say you love me. Go and cook the rice. Talk only. Right. Such thing. Yeah. So the same way, right? We don't go around, we sing that we love God. But we don't go around in our staff. We don't say, I don't tell Pastor Daniel. Pastor Daniel, you know I love God. Then Pastor Daniel say, I love you, I love God more than you, Cynthia. You know that? No, we don't say that. But our action will say. Right? Yeah, our action will show. So in the same way. Now, I'm very quite perturbed about this thing. Have you heard that somebody you say, are you a Christian? It may not be in Singapore. No. The person say, I am a professing Christian, but not a practicing one. How many of you heard that? Oh, I got some hands. Very strange. Got professing and practicing. I don't know where this come from. No. Don't know what theology. Don't know. You either a Christian, yes or no. Right? You can be an obedient Christian or disobedient. No one can. Peter, he never obeyed, become this obedient Christian. Obedient Christian. But this person say, I'm a professing but not a practicing one. Sorry lah, I won't see you in heaven if I'm there. You know? Yeah. They got professing and practicing. Yeah, okay. Another thing I tell you, right? I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Yeah. I mean, this one is just bewilders me. Huh? Yeah, bewilders me. There are many Goliaths. And one big Goliath that I will share, it was in the mission field. And that's one thing about the mission field. You will face many Goliaths, and there are no pastors that probably can help you. Because you are the pastor there, you see. That's the thing, you know. You are the pastor there. So here, can call the senior pastor, can call administrator for tolong, you know. Down there, go direct to God, you know. But sometimes good, no, because God got all the power, right? Yeah, so what happened in Zambia, we had to pay 6 months rental to rent a mission house, right? There were 4 Singaporean missionaries. I didn't know I inherited 2 Zambians. They didn't tell me. It was so shocking. I went there. They said, 2 Zambians will be part of your team. I almost fell off the chair because I never met them before, right? Anyway, 6 people live in a house with 1 bathroom. Can you imagine? The first 3 months was warfare, not outside, you know. We all fight against each other. Right, I'm like, 1 bathroom for 6 people, no, I tell you. But I tell you, after 1 year, wow, we were jailed together. So 6 people, 2 Zambian, 4 African in this one house. Then we started our ministry cell group. In our 3rd month of ministry, we opened a church, right? Because the mandate is that 3 months do cell group. Then 3rd month, right, you know, you have to open a church. Church service, no. So Sunday, we use our mission house in the hall. They come. So we started with 40 people on our first service. Now, looking around, those of you say, "Aiyah, Cynthia, only 40 people lah. Wow, next time you must go lah." Right? Yeah, because when I went there, I know zero. There was zero convert. Right? After 3 months, 40 people lah. I tell you, we are thanking God, man. Right? So we started our first service. We were doing this something and so forth. Lo and behold, bad news came. The agent said, "Cynthia, I have received a mandate from the landlord. Landlord say, if you want to continue here, want to continue the contract, you have to pay 1 year rental." Now, who on earth pay 1 year rental? Anyone here or not? 1 year rental for the house, no. I refused to pay. I did not even consult the church home. I mean, the mother church in Singapore. I say it's ridiculous. This is what we call exploitation. I refuse to pay 1 year. Because you never know. You pay 1 year, the house might collapse. No. Yeah, such thing. So I say, hey, team, I say, we have to prove we are Jehovah Jireh. Right? We have 1 man to evict the place you can't get. So of course, we are on our knees and we prayed, and God came through. Before the 1 month, God connected us to our neighbor. We didn't know our neighbor was so rich. She had another house, and her house was also in Roma. Right? Roma is a place that we ministered. Right? And the neighbor told us that she wanted to get rid of her tenant. The tenant was not paying rent. What you call arrears. Arrears, right? Was not paying rent, and she was looking for another tenant. Can you see how wonderful? Right? So we told her of our dilemma. We had to get out of the house. She said, "Cynthia, you can have this." She did not charge us 1 year rental, maybe 3 months or something. 3 months reasonable. And so she also provided a truck for us so that we can move. Because when we in Zambia, you all got 1 car, right? I have 2, you know. You know where not? Here. 2 car. That was my mode of transportation. They had a bicycle, but the thing is that I never ride a bicycle in Singapore. So I don't dare to ride there. Anything can happen, right? So I walk. You know, I walk with the umbrella. At that time, I was so dark because of the sun. Right? So anyway, we couldn't afford. Some of you may say, just locate to another place. Call a housing agent. By the way, we just cannot call any housing agent. So anyway, we still continue our ministry in Roma. You know, and just we continued for the next 2 years while I was there. Right? So we see here that there will be Goliaths. Even as I was preparing this message, the Lord reminded me, Cynthia, this was one of the Goliaths. That men don't help, but when you come to me, I prove faithful to you. Amen. And I trust next year there will be many Goliaths for me, for you. But we thank God, right, just like David, we trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. Secondly, you must, what I call the battle of the mind, you must realign your thinking, your thought pattern, your mindset. This is very important. There is a book, Better the Mind by Joyce Meyer. I recommend to all my counselors from the Inner Healing and Deliverance Ministry. After ministry, I say, go to Andrew and Violet, is it? Yeah, Violet, to buy the book, Better the Mind. It's a paperback, very not expensive, and it's very useful. Now, the better of the mind is that, like I said, the devil will take opportunity to knock you down. Wherever you are low in spirit, you are going to trial, you are going through your God liar, he will hit you below the belt. Now, does this statement, is it only the older people know? You all know, not? Eunice, when I say he hit you below the belt, well, some of you may not wear the belt, but you know what I mean. So it literally means that, no, he will just hunt on you. You think he'll give you a chance? Right? And this experience I just had 1.5 months ago. You know? All right? Oh, by the way, all my stories are true. Right? If they are not true, I will tell you. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. So 1.5 months, let me backtrack. 2 years ago, like I said, my blood test showed that something was wrong. All right, I will not tell you the detail. And the doctor told me that I inherited a condition from my mother, obviously, and one of my organs was failing. They cannot do anything about it. So when the doctor cannot do any more thing about it, you need a miracle, right? Because they can't do, no. So I have to go for regular checkup. By the way, regular checkup, no medicine, no. Regular checkup is just to check whether the organ is still functioning or not. Right? So from 6 months, I have to go two months. All right, I went last week. Now, next week, I have to go. December 31st, I have to go for checkup again. Right? Yeah, so it goes. And 1.5 months ago, I had a scare. Right? I had a scare. The kidney coordinator and the specialist came and said, we have bad news for you. So they quoted a certain percentage. They say, right, your organ function has dropped from here to here. So when I saw the small number, I almost collapsed. Because the number is a dangerous zone. You know, and this organ is an important organ. You cannot just say operate. No, operate means your life is gone. Right? Yeah. So I was like, wow. I tell you, my face turned white. I think, but I can't see. But I feel. I feel the white. Yeah. So anyway, while in the waiting room, of course, I text my friends. You know, all the prayer warriors. And I felt called. I felt led to call Vanaja because literally I'm reporting to Vanaja, right? So I told Vanaja, and I was crying. I mean, I have to be frank to you, right now, right? Being human, right? When you tell you that, and it dropped so much, you know. Over 1.5 months. So I told Vanaja, I said, I'm shocked. How come it's like this? And of course, Vanaja has no answer at all. He said, come back to the office. We will talk about it. Yeah. So after I put the phone down, I tell you, I was just sitting there, you know, quietly, you know, and tears were flowing. I tell you, I heard a whisper. Now, by the way, when I teach hearing the voice of God, I also say that God speaks to you in a whisper. Right? Because Elijah thought that God was in the fire, in the thunderstorm. In the lightning, all right. But later, you know, it was a gentle breeze and so forth. This was a whisper, but you need to recognize, where is it from? And the whisper was very gentle. It says, you see, it's like a conversation. People, the children, they inherit, you know what they inherit from their parents? Diamonds? Wow. You know, inherit cash, inherit houses, even inherit, what would they call it, shares, You know, people inherit this from your parents, from their parents, but you, you go inherit this sickness, right? Your brother and your sister don't have, but you have. No? I tell you, when I heard that voice, I say, I'm on dangerous ground, right? Yeah, because I was weak and vulnerable and sad. You know, I could have easily say, yes. Now, what will happen? All right, my spiritual life, I tell you, will go on, because depression will start. All right, and I think, if I'm really so depressed, I don't think senior pastor has to stand here. All right, because do you know that spirit of depression, can be transferred, you know. Yeah. But don't worry, I'm not depressed. I won't be here. Yeah. So don't worry. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, you know. So I just take whatever courage. I say in the name of Jesus. Right. I say I renounce this very thought. You get away from me. Right. I say I declare that God is good. Just because of what happened to me, just because my sister and my brother, they went for checkup, they don't have, doesn't mean that you are no good. You still love me. You love me. You are crazy about me, God. I still choose to believe that I need a miracle. I will wait for the miracle. It doesn't change my perspective about you. All right? And you know that when by the time I went back to the office, they prayed for me. All right, I was okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm trying to tell you the battle of the mind. Right. So you all need to constantly control your mind. Many Christians fall. You know, you always say, oh, their will is weak. It's not a matter of the will. I think it starts with the mind. Yeah, in the mind, right? Yeah. So you do not allow any thought. You do not allow the fiery dart, no. And then you begin to think about it, dwell about it. But you say in your heart, this is not from God because I know who my God is. You get lost. And I tell you, he will leave you alone because the devil is a bully. He's a bully. Huh? Now, today God is inviting you to welcome and accept the changes, right? Accept the changes, right? Yeah. And so we believe that even as a church, we will also have challenges, right? Have challenges. And now when I talk about change, don't just concentrate on the losing the car park lah. Losing the car park is not important, right? It's losing all of you that is important, right? Yeah. Right. Car park not important. God will provide, right? The most I tell people, if you got no car, take bus lah. You don't want to take bus, take taxi lah. After the rest of us who got no car, we also take bus now. Or we also walk. So to me, once a week, is that an excuse or not? Excuse that you cannot have a car park, you're going to change church. I'm very serious here. No? Right? If for the reason that you change church because you got no car park, I got a question also. I will leave it to you. What is it? Fill in the blank. Right or not? Yeah. Right or not? Yeah, the most take a taxi with your family. Right? Then park your car at home. Right? So I'm saying that, like I said, don't be concerned about what's, you know, what I'm more important is our attitude. What is the house of God? What is the condition of our heart, the people itself? Now, just as the human body got enemy, right? Human body got disease, got so forth, and so forth. In the same way, the church has enemy to prevent it from moving forward. When I say the church, is all of you. Right? So when we say the church wants to move, right, want to move, want to take one step forward, it means all of us in tandem are moving together with the leadership and so forth. There are three enemies quickly. Enemy of ignorance. You can look at the verses. Right, ignorance, it talks about Hosea, that my people are perished because of lack of knowledge. Unbelief. Unbelief is another big sin in the church. Right, we have unbelieving Christians. Right, and Mark 9:25, Mark 9:24, we should pray, like the servant says to Jesus, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And I think those of us who struggle with unbelief, I think we have to pray that prayer soon, right? And lastly, apathy. Apathy. Apathy is indifference. A man spoke to the wife. He asked the wife, do you think the world's problems are caused by ignorance or apathy? His wife replied, I don't know and I don't care. I don't know and I don't care. Right? And indifference. Can you see, I will read to you, the words there. It might be too small for you. It says, it takes 43 muscles to frown and 17 to smile. But it doesn't take any just to sit there with a dumb look on your face. Right? Now, that is indifference. I encourage you, smile more. You will look younger. Because what? You only take, 17 only. So every time you frown, you will be aging, you know. After got a lot more wrinkles. Right, yeah. So I encourage you to smile. Don't even have a dumb look on the face. Have you heard of the mousetrap story? All right, this story is about a mouse. The mouse was peering through the crack on the wall. And he saw, excitedly, a parcel delivered to the farmer and his wife, right? And he was thinking, wow, is it food? Maybe blue cheese. Wow, I can have a nibble, you know. And to his horror, when the farmer and the wife opened the parcel, it was a mouse trap. It was a mouse trap. The horrified and frightened mouse went to the farmhouse and he called out, there is a mouse trap in the house. There is a mouse trap in the house. And the first animal that he saw was the chicken. Right, so he told the chicken there is a mouse trap in the house. The chicken raised his head and said, Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it's of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it. Right? So the mouse was so sad. So the mouse went round looking for other animals. He met the pig and he said, there's a mouse trap in the house, there's a mouse trap in the house. And this is what the pig replied. The pig sympathized and said, Mr. Mouse, there is nothing I can do about it but pray. You are in my prayers. Now, do we sound like the pig? How many of us say, you are in my prayers? Then you what? The minute you go out for lunch, you forgot what was the conversation. Huh? Nowadays, I pray on the spot. But don't expect long prayer because my lunch is waiting. Huh? Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, I pray on the spot. I mean, yesterday somebody didn't respond to the altar call. Right, you know, and the lady said, she came and then she said, I said, can I pray for you? It took me 3 minutes. Yeah. Right. After that, if I remember, I prayed. But at least she knew that I prayed for her. Right. So we hope that we don't want to be like the pig, sympathizer. You are in my prayer. Sounds so religious. Okay. Then after that, he met the cow. The cow said this, whoa, Mr. Mouse, I'm so sorry for you, but it's no skin off my nose. So the mouse returned to the house, dejected, head down, you know, so sad because he had to face the mouse trap alone. Lo and behold, that very night, there was a commotion in the farmhouse, right? And something got caught in the mouse trap. So what happened is the farmer's wife went to go and check. And in a hurry, she didn't know, right? She stepped on the mouse trap. And what happened? Her leg was caught. And worse than that, a venomous snake go and bite the farmer's wife. Right, so the farmer's wife was taken to the hospital, delirious. Right, so they treated her, and she had a fever. Right, so they discharged her home. And you, everybody know during that time, that you treat fever with fresh chicken soup. And you must know, no, there was no brand essence of chicken. Yeah, during that time, you know, right? So the farmer, what to do, right? The farmer took the hatchet, went to the farmhouse looking for the main soup ingredient. Right, yeah, so you know, the chicken had to go, right? So, but the thing is that, you know, the wife's condition deteriorated. She didn't get well. And because she didn't get well, it's a small community. The neighbors say, I will come and watch your wife round the clock. And because all the neighbors came, they had to eat. Right? So the farmer said, are you all so many people? What am I going to do? So the farmer said, let me go and find the pig. Right? So they had suckling pig or babi ponte. I'm not sure. Yeah, yeah. Right? So they had the meal there. But sad to say, the wife never recovered. And finally, what happened to his wife? The wife died. And because the wife died, the whole village came. Right, it was a small town, and the farmer says, to feed this whole crowd, to feed the village, you know, I have to go and slaughter the cow. Right, the cow. So the mouse looked upon it, all this from his crack in the wall, with great sadness. So the next time you hear someone is facing a problem, and you think it does not concern you, remember, when one of us is threatened, we are all at risk. Let's say it together. When one of us is threatened, all of us are at risk. Amen. Yes. So I pray that Church of our Savior, sometimes we hear we want to be a family church. In the same way, right? In your family, if your brother lost the job, can you say hallelujah, hallelujah? No, you'll be concerned about your brother. In the same way, if you want KUS to be a family, not just an organism or an organization, then we have to be concerned. And sometimes I sit, you know, I sit on a certain place for a reason, because the people that are regularly there, I will see them there. And a few months ago, there was a particular person that was not there. And you know, I ran around to ask somebody, because I knew she was close to this person, I wanted to know what happened to her. Right? So in other words, we need to be concerned. Sometimes we say, the church, sometimes the church refer to the pastor, the church refer to the full-time staff, the church refer to you. So when one of us is threatened, anything happened to the church, it is our baby. We have to take responsibility. Of course, the degree of responsibility vary, but we say, this is our family, this is our hope. Whatever I can do to contribute to this family, I will do it in 2015. In order to do that, you have to change your attitude if the attitude is wrong. Amen. Yeah. 2015 will be an exciting year and challenging year as we celebrate Jubilee. And next year, like I said, Pastor Daniel, he will share more about this on the January 3rd vision casting for Jubilee year. And let me tell you, next year when you come, don't just be impressed by the calendar, but like I tell you, I foresee there will be work, that there will be demands made on us. So what is your attitude? Right, what is your attitude? And all of us will be given the opportunity and the challenge to be involved in some way. Right. And I think recently also is like this kind of thing, this mindset. Work for God. Ayo, we don't work for God, I tell you. Yeah, God doesn't need us, I told you before. Right. So we have to change to say, work. Everybody say, work with God. Yes, work with God. In partnership with God, we are not working for God. Right. We are working with Him and consider it a privilege. Right. Sometimes that don't consider it as a sacrifice. Sometimes the sacrifice also is not a right word. You know why or not? Because Jesus sacrificed for us. Jesus gave all His sacrifice for us. So for us, yeah, we go through inconvenience. We have to prioritize our time and so forth. We need to do that. But we are working with God. And John Maxwell, the leadership guru, say, teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork makes the dream. And the acronym for team, I want you to say it together. All right, together with me. All right, 1, 2, 3. Together, everyone achieves more. One more time. Together, everyone achieves more. Yeah, if you are in a team, that means that together, everyone achieves more. So we need the diversity of the gifting. Uniformity is not unity. Wearing the same uniform, even wearing the Jubilee t-shirt, doesn't make us united. Oh no, the sale has dropped. Senior will come after me, right? Yeah, that is just an outward sign. Right now, yeah. Right, yeah. But well, I'll still buy the t-shirt, right. But what I'm saying is that uniformity is not diversity. In the kingdom of God, diversity is unity. Amen. When I go on a mission field, I look for people different from me. And one area is that I'm so poor in direction. I can go to your house 5 times, I can still go to the wrong house. Right? So I need to find out who is the right one, who got new good direction. I need you. Yes. Yeah, we have to remember there will be diversity of gifting, and I feel many of us we have the opportunity, right, even to show our gifting in various ways. Right, at our end of this story, there are three superstar tenors. They perform in an LA concert. Jose Carreras, Placido Domingo, and Lucania Pavotti. A reporter asked them whether they were competing against one another. Domingo stopped him and said, he replied this, "Listen, you have to put all of your concentration into opening your heart to the music. You can't be rivals when you are together making music." Can you imagine our worship team here now? Eunice want to sing louder, right? Then our, who is it? Sunday, I forgot your name. Joshua. Joshua. Joshua said, "Ayo, Eunice's voice so loud. I want to be heard. I pong, 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 you know." I tell you. Right, and then here we all are, it's like, wow, one pong, one louder, don't know why, you know, right? Yeah, that is what, that is flowing. When Eunice say, "I walk to the right," hopefully all of us also walk to the right. All right, yeah, right. So if you, no, we are not in competition, right? We are supposed to compliment. Everybody say, "I want to compliment you." Yes, I accept you that you are different. Thank God, everybody look like me, the world will be so boring. Yeah. There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never raced, he never tried. He never sang or prayed. And one day when he passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they claim he never died. Let us not be like that cautious, boring man who led a very boring life. And today, if you think that being a Christian is boring, I have good news for you. Right? Yeah, because I asked for the Lord. I said, "God, for the altar call, for the response or what, God, right, you're talking about change, about new, you know, which passage you want me to share?" Right? Don't worry, I'm not doing a positive one. We are going off for lunch soon. Right? So just to say that there are for two specific group of people, I believe. Right? The first one is Isaiah. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. I'll read quickly. Right? You can understand the meaning. "Do not remember the former things. Now, consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This is a message of hope. So for those of you, like I said, now who have things in 2014, I plead to you today. When I give the altar call, nobody going to pray for you. You come up here and you respond to this. And say, "I claim this prophecy for myself. I'm not waiting for things around me to change. I will change myself. Start with me." Amen. Right, the next one. The next group of people. This will be the majority, I believe. Because I believe the people in Church of Our Savior are faithful. They have a servant heart. I say that with all my heart. I've seen you, how you serve. Lord, but it's not enough. Don't sit on your laurel. You know the expression? Sit on your laurel meaning it's an English expression. It's an idiom. It simply means you are so satisfied with what you are doing. Right. You say it's like, "Wow, God, what's more? I'm so contented." That's not me. I hope it's not you. Right. He says what? Isaiah 54 verse 2. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." Right. So for you, those of you who are saying that, "Yes, God, I'm serving you, but I just feel I want to have more God encounter. You know, I just want to have more of you. No, I want to grow in this area." And you feel that you are being limited, you are being restricted. Not by us, but sometimes you limit yourself. Right? Yeah, you limit us. Nowadays, whenever I'm approached to do something, like I say, "God," right? I say that, right? I may not have the capacity, but I will not say no straight away. Right? Your grace is sufficient. I may need guidance and so forth, but I will not straight away say yes. And many of us, it's like that. Like I said, we will say no. Oh, we will recommend somebody. We are very good at recommending, you know. Right. So if Eunice come and ask me something, right, I would say that, I'm not up to it, no. Right. And this will not happen to Moses. Moses recommend, right. Moses said no, and God had to use Aaron. Right. And Aaron wasn't God's best choice or first choice. He was the ringleader, I call it. He led the children of Israel into idolatry. Yeah, right. So we recommend somebody. Right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, no, if there's opportunity, just say, "Yes, God, I may need guidance." So I go to the leader. "Hey, how to do, leader, you help me on that." Right, but don't say no straight away. And I trust that all of you will say, "Yes, I want to change my attitude." I have a wonderful quotation from Winston Churchill. "Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference." And lastly, right, another quotation from Ziegler. He says, "Your attitude, not your aptitude, that will determine your altitude." All right, your attitude will determine your attitude. attitude. So today, I'll ask the musician to come up now, right? So I want you to respond, right? Respond whether you want to claim the first Isaiah verse that God will do a new thing. You want a new thing. You want to leave everything behind, and you say, "I stand here to claim that promise for myself." For the rest of you, you say, "Right, I want my tent to be enlarged, and I know God's grace will be sufficient for me." Right, and my life is a gift from God. My life is a gift from God. What I do with my life is my gift to God. What I do with my life is my gift to God. And and this quotation is from Cynthia Wee. Yeah, right? Yeah. Yes. And I got this just last night. Right? And God says that your life, what become of you, is your gift to God. Right? So, welcome changes. Embrace it willingly. Willingly. When you face challenges, you will be changed. Amen? So can we rise up now? Yes. So I want to make time. Right? In whatever way God has spoken to you, you can come up here. And I'm going to go down with you to identify with you. You know, that we are going to sing this wonderful, glorious song. I have a destiny. I invite you, those from the top also, make that first step and come up here. And even as a church body, we are going to sing that song. And after a few times, I will ask Pastor Daniel to close us in prayer. Not an empty wish, for I know I was born for such a time as this. I have a destiny. Encourage you right now, right, to come up here. This is the last weekend of the year, right? So make a commitment. Make commitment to the Lord and Master of your life and say, God, I mean it. I may be weak, but I trust you. I trust you that any Goliath that I make, you know, I will make the right choice. I will face the crisis of belief. I need to renew my mind, but I trust you for it, right? So I appeal to you, right? Nobody is going to pray for you. This is your commitment. Right, you come up here, there is something about responding, taking that first step and say, God, I mean business. Even those at the top, make your way down. Right, we are going to sing it just two times, and I'll get Pastor Daniel to pray, to close us in prayer.
Spirit.
Father, even as you look down on this congregation here, Father, I pray that you look at our hearts, Lord, saying yes to you, Lord. Have your way with our lives in spite of our weaknesses. Father, we want to make our life count for you, Lord. We really do. So, Father, just look past our weaknesses, look past our struggles. And Lord, even as we look to the new year, we want to pray that our obedience will become the platform for you to build a real destiny, Lord. Something good of your will, that your kingdom will come in and through us. So all of us standing here, God, I pray that you make us strong. Unite us as a body, Lord. Even those who did not come up front, Father, I pray that our will, that our desire for you will not flag. Our desire for you will not be any less. That every one of us will be determined, Lord, to say yes to you. Lord, pour out your Spirit. We thank you for this whole year. We thank you for today's reminder. We thank you because, Lord, we are going to take on the challenges of the new. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, everybody.